Hi, I'm Brad. Where are you calling from?
I live in New York.
I'm calling from Panama City Beach, Florida.
You're going to UNLV for film.
And wherever you are, welcome to Blonde Radio. Hi, I'm Brad. I live on the west coast of Canada, and I love seeing things from a new point of view. And welcome to Blonde Radio, where every week, I book calls with strangers from around the world. Today, we'll have a conversation with Emma, an art history grad who's now working that perspective into video games. Lexi, who's surrounded by her friends and dreams of the big screen. And Ace, who's learning how to put in the time for themselves. But first, at Blonde Radio, we're all about community. So here's what you can expect, as well as some highlights presented by the Discord mod team.
Hey, I'm Fa.
I'm Peach.
I'm Andy.
I'm Cameron.
I'm Ari.
I'm Sable.
I'm Shree. And here's what's happening this week at Blonde Radio.
Due to popularity, you can now check out our new D&D chat thread, share characters, campaign ideas, and more with our vibrant tabletop community. Shout out to August, Morgan, Piano, Alkari, Lucky, and Alex for being recognized as our new Member Plus additions. You uplift this place, make it what it is. We appreciate you a lot. And big thanks to everyone who participated in the speed friending this past Saturday. It was a ton of fun, and I hope you made some lasting friendships.
And now, here's Emma. Hello.
Hello.
Oh my goodness, you weren't lying about that audio quality. That is so clear and crisp.
Amazing, I'm so glad.
Really appreciate it. How's your day going?
You know, my day's going all right. I'm winding up. I live in New York, so, you know, it's the end of my day for me.
Nice. How's the humidity?
Terrible.
Yeah. I've only been through a couple times, but very memorable.
Yeah, I'm from Southern California, so I'm used to, you know, it's a joke at this point, but I'm used to dry heat, and the humidity knocks me out every time.
Totally. I can imagine. I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm Emma.
Fantastic. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to chat. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I'm so happy you responded to the DM. I've seen you a couple times on TikTok.
Yeah.
And so when you like opened it up for DMs, I was like, okay, I'll do this.
It is so exhilarating to be able to have this opportunity to talk to so many people, but also be very overwhelming the amount of messages.
Yeah.
But I
cannot imagine the situation for your DMs.
It comes and goes, you know. It's a net positive for sure.
Good.
First off the bat, I think just I'll give you the floor to give a elevator pitch on you. Who are you and what sort of got you to where you are today?
Yeah, well, my name's Emma. I actually got started where I am today because of an art history class. I was previously, when I was a kid, I really wanted to be a scientist. I really wanted to be an astrophysicist. And I'm actually still really interested in science and astrophysics. But I took an AP art history class in high school and fell in love with it. And then I went to college for my BA in art history. And then I went to grad school for my MFA in curating, which I actually finished last year.
Congrats.
Thank you very much. And then somehow I wound up in video games.
Yeah.
And I get to use my curating degree a lot in video games because I work at this really amazing company called Killscreen.
Mm-hmm.
And we integrate culture and art and video games and play all together. So I get to talk to artists who are working with video game technology in their practice and video game developers who are more focused on philosophy and art and more deep thinking when they create games. I get to do something that I just absolutely adore, and I get to play video games in my spare time to inform my work. That's what I do with my life, and I'm very happy to be doing it.
That sounds so lovely. That's such a win-win.
Right? I wasn't allowed to play video games as a kid, and now I'm like in video games.
Felt. It's that conserve. I don't know what the situation was for you, but conserve Christian
100%
household.
100%. Yep.
We were allowed to rent a GameCube for like 2 weeks in a year, and our eyes would just be beet red by the end of those weeks.
See, I have older brothers, and they were allowed to play video games, but I wasn't.
Oh, make it fair.
They're called Game
make it make
Boys.
Sense. Oh, of course. Wow.
Yeah, well, it's bad.
Yeah, we made it through the other side of it. All right.
Made it, yeah.
Well, first of all, at least from an outside perspective, something that immediately caught my attention, mutual love. I do adore the OA so much. Do share.
Oh my goodness,
yeah,
yes.
What it means to you and how it's impacted you.
Well, it's impacted me because I have a podcast about it, which I never thought I'd be a podcast person.
Right.
But I started watching it after the second season aired. Mm-hmm. I saw the trailer for it and I just really loved it. It is such a well thought out show. I've just never experienced something where every step of the way, every choice that the creators made was the right choice.
Right.
They followed their intuition and went with something that maybe felt a little weird to people who didn't understand it, but mm-hmm. it paid off so well. It explores all these really, really complex themes, philosophy and what the meaning of life and death is, gets into color theory. It's just like all these really cool things, but it's never presumptuous. It's never elitist. It's just mm-hmm. there. And I think anyone can enjoy that series because there's something for everyone in it.
Yeah, I was just speaking to, it's juggling so many things. I'd be hard-pressed to summarize it in a sentence in any kind of way.
It's really difficult to summarize.
Yeah. But man, especially that first season, just the emotional crescendo and that final climax. Wow. I just remember being moved and rewatching that cafeteria scene for multiple times.
I get chills every single time I watch that scene because it's just... Explaining it to an outsider makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, but, with zero context, it's the most preposterous scene, but it's so beautiful.
Bizarre. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's such a beautiful culmination of everything that that first season built towards.
Yeah.
And so much of that season is like very subtle and under mm-hmm. the radar. They never do anything overtly. And I think the words that I best used to describe season one was like beautiful mundanity.
Ooh,
it's like really there's nice. These gorgeous glamour shots of the frozen aisle at Costco. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's just like these beautiful moments where like the saturation isn't super high. There's no like really significant cinematography, but it's just lovely to experience because it's familiar and comfortable and nice.
So intentional and framed. Yeah. Lots mm-hmm. of love there. A shame that couldn't go a little further, but we appreciate it for what it is.
We appreciate it. I would love for Britt and Zal to write up the rest of the show because I know that they planned mm-hmm. 5 seasons in total. So I would love to just know what happens next.
Exactly. Ideally, one day. I'm sure like 10, 15 years from now, a memoir or something will come out.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Now... And you spoke to this a little bit already, sort of how art history and now working in this new space are informing each other. But something I'm so curious about, because I think that the perception is changing, but I still know there's a lot of people that see it this way. How do you confront conversations with people who struggle to see video games as a form of art?
I love those conversations because mm-hmm. when I was getting my master's, the conversations I was having with people is trying to convince them that contemporary art is real. Right. You know, they see a painting with a slash down the middle of it, and they're like, my 2-year-old can do that. Why does it art? And I love getting to be the person that instead of being like, oh, you just don't understand it, I get to be the person that gets to walk them through how art is subjective and art is what you make of it. However mm-hmm. you perceive it, that is what it is. When it leaves the artist's hands, it becomes the public's. It becomes however you see it. And in the same way, that's what video games are. They, you know, they started out as just another way to keep kids entertained and to have fun with, you know, these new things at times, computers. And they evolved into this gorgeous way of telling stories where, you know, you read a book and you can feel like you're a part of it. But video games, you get to actually be a part of it. You get to mm-hmm. have a role in how the story goes. And that means you get to tell stories that art on its own, like traditional physical art, can't do. And so when I tell people that video games are art, I mean that like so earnestly that, you know, not only can they be visually beautiful, but the story they tell is important. Mm-hmm. And you get to be a part of that. How exciting is that?
Oh, so exciting. Yeah, I'd agree. Some of my most, at least maybe in the most recent years, moving moments have been through button presses, which is a strange sort of cognitive disassociation thing, but really, really beautiful all the same.
What games? I'm curious.
Recently, the two that moved me to tears, which I really wasn't expecting, was I think for most people that played it, Before Your Eyes was just phenomenal. And then Spiritfarer, which is just...
Oh, Spiritfarer is gorgeous.
A love letter to letting go. And I am such a sap for that. I love sad things.
I recently finished Kentucky Route Zero, Ooh. Which is like the... if I can convince anyone to play one video game in their life, I want them to play Kentucky Route Zero, because it's a love letter to the origins of communication science. Wow. And to the origins of video games themselves, while also making references to really famous artists and deep-seated philosophy. At the final scene, I was sobbing completely. And I will play it again.
Yeah, I'm just like, I've never heard or seen this before, but it looks so up my alley. I'm definitely, that's on the list. It's on the list now.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's my favorite game.
Of course. What would you say is a creative outlet you wish you had just a little bit more time to indulge in? Time is so, so sparse these days, it feels like.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much of it is it like a creative outlet, but I'm always getting on my case for not being more on top of language learning. I've been lucky in that I've had access to at least the roots of a lot of languages growing up, and then I just haven't pursued them. I got to study Russian as a kid because I actually grew up training as a professional ballerina.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I know how to read and write in Russian, but I do not know the language that well. And I kind of get on myself a lot for not learning it more, because it is a very lovely language. I also like worked on French in high school and worked on Italian a bit when I was older. So it's one of those things where it's like, I want to have that outlet so that I can talk to people in those languages and experience the stories that are in those languages in the way that they were originally meant to be read and understood.
And it sounds like, or as you're speaking to, it's part of you in a way, you know, it was in your history and your past. So being able to find time to reconnect with that would be cool. But again, time, where's time? Where's the eighth day of the week?
Yeah. And especially with languages too, it's like you need someone who's patient enough to just sit there and work on it with you and answer your dumb questions. Yeah. I had a classmate during my master's that's Russian, and she got so many pestering questions from me about like little semantic details in Russian.
Oh, so great. I hope she was patient.
Very patient. In return, I grammar checked all of her papers.
Oh, that coexistence. We love it. That's beautiful. Sweet. So this week's question is, what is one thing that you would want to accomplish before the end of this year? What's a goal you have on your horizon?
I'm bad with goals. I'm very much a live like each day as it comes, because there's so many things out of control. I would say, I guess, a general goal has been reading more. Like many, many kids, I read voraciously as a child. You know, I could inhale an entire book series in a week. And I've been trying to get better at that again. And just reading more and reading what I want to read, not what I've been told to read. I think a lot of times people just go, oh, you should read this book because it's popular.
Yeah.
Or because you should. I'm like, but can I just read what I want to read? So, and I've been doing that mainly with audiobooks. So reading a lot more, and hopefully cutting through my my TBR, my to be read list a bit more.
I love that goal. And yeah, I've been speaking with a couple of close friends about this phenomenon I feel like we've all gone through, where, you know, middle, even early high school, reading literally like every day after school for hours, and then it just kind of falls off. One friend, she had a very interesting point. She's like, YA novels often are about themes of coming of age, self-discovery, you know, facing the world, all these really universal, powerful themes that, although they do exist outside of the YA universe of books, they are less common. And so I love that idea, what you're speaking to, like reading what you want to read, finding, you know, not just checking Goodreads, seeing what's on the top, like really getting in touch with your niche, which I think is tricky. But as someone in art curation, I'm sure you've mastered the method a little bit there.
Yeah, definitely. I also just like, I try to have that philosophy with most of my life. There's a Guillermo del Toro quote that I'm probably going to butcher, but he basically says, he's like, I don't give my personal life homework. He's like, if I don't like a book, I won't finish it. You know, if I don't like a movie, I will just leave. You know, I don't want to force myself to do things that I don't have to do. And so that, you know, for me, that is with books, but it is also with art, where a lot of times I am expected to like something or not like something because that is how the market feels about it. If I ever get wealthy enough to collect art, I'm just going to collect what I find nice, what I enjoy being around.
Additive more than, the sort of outside external reputation. Gotta come from you. That's huge.
Yeah,
I love that. And then to flip that around, I guess, what advice would you give to someone who's trying to follow through on a goal?
I guess don't marry yourself to the fact that, like, the goal isn't you. And, like, I think a lot of people, especially, you know, during, like, New Year's resolutions and stuff, we think that if we fail the goal, that we fail ourselves and that we are a lesser person. Mm-hmm. So when you subtract yourself and separate yourself from the goal and just make it something that you can work on, it becomes much more easy to do because it's not tied to you as a person.
Right.
It's a thing separate. And also setting goals that are more manageable, not being like, okay, I have to do X amount of things. You know, I have to get, you know, if like you're doing like workouts or whatever, I have to do like 20 pushups a day or something. It's like, no, I'm just going to try and do some pushups every day. You know, I'm going to, for me, like I said, like I'm going to try reading more. It's not a tangible number. It's just something that I can work towards at whatever rate works best for me.
A sort of passive goal. That's sort of, Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I feel that a lot. Anytime I put a hard number on anything, it feels a lot more intimidating.
Yeah. I mean, I've written so many essays and stuff with all the years I've been in school. And the thing I always hated the most was the word count, because I was either racing to like hit it, or I was having to cut back so much of what I had written to like pull back down to it. It just didn't, it always ended up being an inauthentic piece one way or another because I had to hit a number.
Yeah. And then, as you're saying, thank God life does not have to be homework or, you know, inside a word count. Take it at your own pace. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. That's fantastic advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sweet. That's kind of about it. Do you have any exciting plans the rest of the day? Anything in future for you?
I am streaming with my friend on Twitch tonight. We are playing a wonderful co-op, a horror game called The Blackout Club.
Oh my goodness. That sounds like so much fun. Do enjoy. Again, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was great.
This was a lot of fun. I'll let you to it. Do enjoy the stream.
I shall.
Very good. I'll talk to you later.
Bye. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. Ciao. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Going good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
I'm Lexi. Nice to meet you.
Lexi, a pleasure. Thanks for taking time out of the day to chat. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
How's the day going overall?
Going good. I have work super early this morning, so I'm a little tired, but you know, for the most part, I've just been chilling all day.
Oh yeah. What are we doing for work? What's the MO these days?
It's only a summer job right now. My last day is actually tomorrow. Because I have school coming up in a couple of weeks and a lot of my friends are moving out of town for college. So I wanted to quit a little bit before then so I could have some quality time with them and stuff.
Yeah, that's important. Got to get the homies in where you can.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Awesome.
And then where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Panama City Beach, Florida.
Florida, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Homies, East Coast, West Coast, nationwide. We love it.
All around.
Hell yeah. And that's kind of my first thing I noticed about you in my very preliminary sort of looking at your profile and stuff. I love how many of your photos are with your friends. So I guess kind of my first question here is, what do you value most in a friendship?
Oh my goodness. Definitely. There's a lot of things because I feel like I have a really awesome group of friends who everybody has a different quality that they bring. But I think like the number one that like stands out the most is consistency in a friend, because like, you know, it's really hard to be friends with somebody who's not putting the same effort into the relationship back. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had a few past like friendships end that way because, you know, I'm trying to put in as much as I can and they're just not giving it back. So that's definitely a really important quality.
Yeah. I feel like that's a big sort of mid post high school range where you figure out like, whoa, like I'm putting in way more effort, and finding that personal line for yourself where you need to cut it off. That's a big step. Do excuse me, I think this is the first time this has ever happened. I've totally messed up the order of my questions here, but I do give us the sort of elevator pitch on you. Tell us about you and what sort of got you to where you are today.
Oh my goodness, a lot of trial and error. Well, let's see. I was homeschooled, so that's probably the big setup. But I was pulled out to be homeschooled like halfway through the sixth grade. So middle school was definitely like the awkward phase of like you're not in the public school system anymore, and you're it's kind of hard to figure out who you are when you're literally being schooled at home.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of homeschool groups like in the quote unquote homeschool community. So we joined a homeschool group, and most of the friends I have now, I actually met through that. Okay. But I'm into a lot of different things. Again, like I said earlier, like trial and error. But one thing that has always kind of remained consistent is like my love for film and production. I was a theater kid when I was in public school. And even out of public school, I did a couple of summer camps for musical theater. I was always ensemble, which kind of sucked. But, you know, when you don't know anybody at a public school, it's kind of difficult to, I guess, be put in the spotlight in that sense. But yeah, no, like film, you know, Marvel specifically is a big thing for me. I remember seeing Avengers opening night when I was like 10 years old, I want to say.
Wow.
It's one of those memories where it literally, I can say with positivity, has shaped me into the person I am now, because I'm going to film school next year at Full Sail University in Orlando.
Oh, congrats.
Which thank you. It's definitely one of those things where as it creeps closer, you're like, wait, this is real. This isn't just, you know, something that happens. You know, I'm very lucky to be able to have gotten in and everything.
But, That's so cool.
Yeah.
What about sort of the ensemble work from the theater to, of course, as any production that goes into any film? It's a lot of moving parts. What aspect of that sort of being in a team speaks to you?
I think it's like one thing that I never had a problem with, like when I did theater, I never had a problem with being ensemble. I was in a production of Mulan, the first, I guess, like really big shows I got to do as a kid. I was like a background person. I played a soldier. I played a townsperson, you know, things like that. But it's like, if there's no soldiers, then there's no war. The plot doesn't move forward. And that's kind of how it was. That's kind of the mindset I had for every production I was in, where it's like, well, if I'm not this character, then the scene is not set properly and everything is kind of a working part, which is another reason I really enjoy film. Like, I haven't fully decided what part of film I want to go into. I just know that I want to have some sort of hand in making it all work.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, like when you watch a scene in something, it's like, well, what makes it make you feel that way? Every aspect of what goes into a scene makes you feel emotion, like the soundtrack, the acting, the director, like the writing, the script writing, all of that kind of stuff is so incredibly important. And I'm so fascinated by the why, like the why does that make you feel that way?
Ooh.
Like the deeper part of it.
Mm-hmm. That's really, really cool. And yeah. I think, I'm sure it's not, and I know it's not always the most smooth running machine, but I feel like when you get to that professional level of, you know, you're on a film set, everyone's doing their part. Something is just so pure, and I love so much that speaks to me as far as like everyone knows their roles. Everyone knows that each part is important, and just like the mutual respect and trust that's going around with everyone. God, that I imagine hits good when you really find the flow. And I think that resonates well, and you see a lot of like directors sometimes working with the same actors or writers and vice versa. It's like, I don't know, that's really cool to see people finding those groups. Yeah.
Because it's cool because it's like, you know, you're all there for one reason. You know, you're all there to work on the same thing, but you all like, okay, the way I like to put it into perspective is like, you could take a topic, like you could take some sort of idea, give that same idea to five writers, and they're all going to come up with something different.
Yeah.
So it's like when you are given an idea and it has some sort of direction, everybody's able to put in input of some kind. You could be the person who goes on the coffee run and who just like runs errands and stuff, and you can see an issue and bring up a suggestion, and that could be like this guy knows what's going on. Like,
exactly.
Like he gets it, you know?
That's really special. And I'm sure, listen, it sounds like you got the heart, you got the drive, you got the passion. You will find that
Thank
space.
You.
That's so stoked. That's awesome. Now share with me. I know a little bit about my Psalms, but what about that particular verse, the iron sharpening iron? What does that speak to you and mean for you in your day to day?
Okay, I was like, I wonder if he's going to ask me about that particular verse. It's such a common one. So I was like, do I be that girl? Do I put that in this? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's a really good one. Iron sharpens iron as brother sharpens brother. There are so much to that. Like a lot of people are kind of like, I guess like a big like question of life or whatever is like, why do bad things happen? Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm a good person. Why is this bad thing happening to me? You can't grow if life is perfect. And, you know, you need to surround yourself with people who are going to challenge you and challenge how you think, challenge, you know, every aspect of your life. And like, you know, like we kind of said earlier, I have a really awesome group of friends, and I feel like we sharpen each other every single day, and we're not afraid to. Because when you like really think into like blacksmithing, you know, they beat the crap out of the iron and they sharpen it and they dip it in cold water and then they go through the process over and over and over again. It's not pretty. It's not, you know, there's nothing that like looks nice about it until you get to the end. You have a beautiful two-edged sword kind of deal. And it's just really, really important to surround yourself with people who, you know, are going to tell you things you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are kind of scared to say the right thing, or like, I guess kind of a pet peeve I have is when people tell me what I want to hear rather than what I need to hear. Because sometimes it can be nice, but sometimes you just really need that hard pill to swallow, because you're not going to grow if you don't have that. And it's awesome to have people that look out for you and are there for you and care about you, but also tell you the hard things, because you're not going to be able to tell it to yourself. You can't forge yourself.
No, yeah, that's so one of the things I think about often about the human experience is you can really only get an accurate perspective on yourself by engaging with others and, you know, confronting yourself through someone else's lens, because we are sometimes not the most reliable narrator.
Yeah, for sure.
No,
there's two sides. There's always two sides to every story.
Exactly. That's really, really cool. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course.
This week's question is, what is one thing you want to accomplish before the end of this year? What's something that you got on your horizon that you're looking to complete?
Gosh, I have a lot on my plate at the moment.
Yeah.
I guess I have like a lot of personal stuff that I would like to get resolved by the end of the year, but I know that's not how it works. Like, you can have a goal. I want to be done with this issue that I have, but like a lot of mental and emotional wounds are very similar to legit wounds. Like if you have like a, you know, a big cut on your leg, you can patch it up and you can wrap it up and everything, and it can still take months to heal.
Yeah.
Even though you're like, but I've done all the right things to like make it better. Why isn't it better yet? It's like, well, it's, yeah, you're taking care of it and you're doing the right thing, but it's still gonna take time to fully heal. I guess like my end of the year goal, I guess because a lot of my friends are moving off to college, I guess my end of the year goal is to have not regret anything. Cause it's like, you know, friends have hardships, you know, even as, you know, tight as my friend group is, there are still issues within it. You know, again, we're open about them and we're okay with talking about them and stuff, but there are still some things that need to be resolved and need to be talked about. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to get to see these people as much as I do now. And so it's like, I want to be able to say what I want to say to them now, because I might not get to later.
Ooh, that's really, that hits good.
Yes.
As you're speaking to, it can be a hard conversation, but it's so worthy one to have.
Yeah, it's all about the what if, you know.
Mm-hmm. Marvel what if, coming soon. So it's full circle. So to flip that though, what advice would you give to someone who's trying to follow through on a goal?
Ooh. It's funny coming from me, because I am an overthinker, so I totally understand the fear of the what if, I guess.
But, right.
I guess not to quote the brand, but like, just do it. It's one of those things where like, yeah, it can be scary, whatever that is. But like, it's always important to, at the end of the day, like tell the truth. And, you don't realize how much what you have to say can help somebody, you know, and you can be afraid of how they would react, or how, you know, oh, well, what's this going to do to our relationship? Like, is it going to go good? Is it going to go bad? Will I ever talk to them again after this? It's like, if it's bothering you that much and you need to get it off your chest, then you should talk to the person about it. Like, you don't need to beat around the bush. You don't need to avoid the question at all costs. Like, I'd say for the most part, you know, we're all grown ups here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very hard to like, I guess, like let go of like a situation. Like if you're in a room with a bunch of people and then there's one person that you have an issue with, to just like not deal with it. And then everybody else in the room can tell. It's one of those things where you just, I don't want to say like suck it up, but at the same time, you know, it's like, if you wait, you might not get the chance. Or if you wait, it may get worse. Or, you know, again, I'm an overthinker, so I totally understand the like, the buildup and the roller coaster that happens with it. Get advice from people. Don't be afraid to like ask other people like what they think about a situation. Obviously, like there's like a fine line between talking to a close friend about a situation and gossip.
Yeah.
But like, if you have like a handful of people that you really just like trust their opinion, preferably somebody who's not a part of the circle. Like if you have a issue with somebody in the circle, get an outsider's perspective. Like those people for me would be like my pastor or my therapist. Like they are, you know, these are people who have my best intention in mind. You know, if you're not too, if you're not sure about how to respond to something, like, you know, that's okay to ask like somebody else what they think, somebody who has a little bit more knowledge on it. But it's really important to speak your mind in every situation. Super, super important.
Very, so much so. Yeah, I love so much what you're speaking to as far as closure is an answer, you know?
Oh my gosh, tell me about it.
Not answer is so often so much bigger because you make it bigger in your own head, the not answer, the big question mark. It's tough. You're right. I'll concur. But as you're saying, you just got to kind of power through it because once you're on the other end of it, that obstacle is going to seem so much smaller than you made it out to be.
And you can either, you know, either way, you're going to learn from it, you know, whether it ends out good or you can choose to learn from it.
Exactly.
Always learn from your mistakes. That's how you grow as a person.
So, so beautiful. Lovely words. Thank you for the advice.
Thank you for asking the question.
always. That's kind of about it. Do you have any exciting plans the rest of your day?
The rest of my day? No, but tomorrow my friends and I are going to go bother my friend who works at Olive Garden. It's like, yeah, we're going to hang out on Saturday. And she's like, sorry, guys, I have work. And then we're all just like, work?
And that, yeah, that means we're coming to your, yeah, exactly.
We're coming to you.
I'm sure, I hope they'll appreciate that.
Anything for the endless breadsticks. We're not there for her. We're there for the breadsticks.
I love it. thank you again so much for taking the time. I really appreciate your words.
Yeah, no, I think it's super cool that you're doing this. Like, it's such a fun idea.
Yeah. It's profoundly changed my life in a really meaningful way. So for as long as people will have it, it'll stick around.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah. Sweet. Well, I'll let you to it. Do enjoy the day and tomorrow with the homies.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'll talk to you later.
Awesome. I'll see you then.
Ciao.
Bye.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going okay.
Great to hear. I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm Ace. I hear your stuff on TikTok, man. Like, I scrolled past it one day. I was like, yo, this is really cool what you're doing here.
I appreciate that. That's awesome. And thanks for taking the time out of the day to chat. Means a lot. How's the day been? Anything exciting today?
No.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, like, I think that, like, my life's not really that exciting. But, like, I've been doing some film stuff for my work. I don't like it. It's not film work that I want to be doing.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it's like that Steve Jobs quote. I don't know who said it, but it's just like, it's really hard to see where the path of life is going to take you until you get there. And then looking back, you can see all the little steps that didn't seem important. So I'm sure what you're doing now is going to factor in the long run in a big way.
I'm trying to find the bigger like lessons. Like, no, I can learn something from this, but right now it really feels like I'm gaining nothing from this.
Ah, shoot. Yeah, that's hard. But
do
give the elevator pitch on you. Who are you and what got you to where you are today for someone that doesn't know you?
Okay. My name's Ace. I'm 20 years old. I'm a third year in college now, and I'm going to UNLV for film. I guess back in high school, I used to be really kind of depressed, right? A depressed type beat. What happened was that I spent a lot of my time watching movies, anime, and just like really escaping into these worlds just to distract myself. And then I thought about like this one thing, this one moment, like it was like I had an epiphany. I was watching one of my favorite movies or something like that. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. How cool would it be if I could like create these worlds for other people that like are going through the same thing as me? Like, you know, create these like big worlds, like Avatar: Last Airbender kind of thing, or just like all these movies that encapsulate you into these worlds for like a couple hours and distract normal people from their everyday lives, whatever they're going through. That'd be really cool. Be able to be that break from reality for people. It's like, okay, cool. I want to be that for other people. So that way, you know, I'd be helping out someone kind of like myself in that similar situation, you know?
Exactly.
I don't know if the answer to that question, but
no, I like that. You're trying to provide the thing that you've been given, and that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I see in so many of your photos, you're surrounded by so many people. So I kind of have a question for you. What does the word family mean to you, and sort of who's included in that?
For me, family is people that will support you for who you are, no matter what. And also just like, I don't know, I feel like during college, I had a hard time finding, I guess, my group of people, you know, and like, you know, you go into this new environment kind of thing, right? And you're leaving all your close friends behind from your hometown. And then you're just thrown into this place where you can be surrounded by all these people, right? Yet you can still feel so alone, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that type of thing. And like, it was like that my freshman year of college when I was in the dorms. And I thought at first that like, these people like were my closest family, like my new home away from home. Mm-hmm. But I slowly learned that we didn't really have a whole lot in common other than just we all lived in the same dorms together. We ate together, but like it's just tabs. It's just company to have someone there rather than actually enjoying, I guess, right, their presence. And then that's where I started just like, man, these are just people I'm choosing to have in my life because I'm just to have something, but it's not what exactly I want, you know? Mm-hmm. And then going on to today, it took me just trying to get out of my comfort zone and actually exploring the different communities around my campus. You know, I was like, you know right. what? All right, so I need to exit. I need to get out of my comfort zone and not just be surrounded by the people in my dorms if I don't like these people, because all they want to do is just party, drink, and there's nothing else to them besides partying and drinking every single day. I'm like, that's fun and all, but like, is that all there is to you? Mm. And like for me as a creative person, you know, I was like a type of person who's like, all right, I'm gonna go to college. I want to find all these creative people, make stuff with. And I'm like, where are these creative people? Or there's definitely people like me out there, but like, I don't see that in my dorm culture.
Yeah.
You know, it took me trying to find those communities on my own, trying to do things. Like dancing was something that, it was something entirely new that I always had an interest in, but I never really had the opportunity to do until I saw that there was like a hip hop dance class, right? In my school gym. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just try it out, see what happens. I kept coming every single week. And then I found that group of people there and like, oh, cool. These people, they're really cool. And they don't like always just want to drink all the time. They're like, we're all vibing over the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then I also joined a cultural org on my campus to explore more of my own culture. It was like FASA, which is basically, you know, a Filipino club to explore more of like, I'm like Filipino American. I wanted to explore more of just like learn about my own identity and culture that way. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to help start up this club. And from here we are today. I have all those people in those communities. Those are like some of my closest friends now today. And what, you know, we hung out every single day ever since. Like, I consider ourselves family because we always just hang out after every event. Mm-hmm. And just like, we've essentially kind of become almost the same person.
Yeah.
in a good way, I guess. Like, same stupid jokes, same remarks, you know. And
I love what you're talking to as far as like, I think everyone eventually comes across that obstacle, that roadblock where you're like, whoa, the people that I'm spending time with, it's just because, you know, we all have the same classes together. We're living near each other. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
Are these actually my people? And sometimes they are. And that's super cool. But sometimes, yeah, you got to get out of that comfort zone.
No, yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
And I'm glad that I definitely took that step, just going outside and just, I don't know, college has definitely just been like a big growth since like unconfident, shy high school me, but like was really passionate about art. And now here I am
thriving.
Today. Yeah, now we're thriving. Recently, I kind of explored more about my own identity or just like the way I express myself, you know? And like, I now like just, I don't know, I just dress however I want. So like express myself more feminine or either like more masculine, you know, depending on just how I'm feeling, you know, if that makes sense. And like, I learned that more just by not giving a fuck and being more confident in myself, you know, and just like, luckily I had the people around me that I consider family, they support me and love me for even like however I choose to present myself.
Right. And that's what matters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Talking about creating, being a creative person, you've been on that grind for a minute now. How do you stay dedicated to a dream or passion when, especially in the arts, there's no 100% guarantee of that outcome that, you know, we're all striving for?
Yeah, there's, I don't know, because like growing up, you know, like I always had like a lot of different just passions and interests, and it was always in the creative fields, but I didn't know what to choose and like which one it was. Like I played piano, I did photography, I did like I feel like everyone has like, you know, multiple interests in some sort of like that they say that they're passionate about, but then like having multiple interests, they're like, oh man, now is the time I have to actually hone down into one,
right?
And just like that's it. But in reality, it really isn't. I mean, like you choose one and then you explore it for a little bit and you just see where that takes you, you know, if you still love it, you know, and just kind of keep exploring. Just like, I think just being in tune with yourself and just like what you're interested in, like what are you fixated upon, you know, like what's your kind of like craze and like, what are you thinking, you know? And then just like, all right, I'm really curious about this. So I'm going to hone down on that and then keep going on that path until like, I guess that curiosity kind of just like, I guess not necessarily burns out, but just kind of like you feel a little bit bored with it. And then you find that you just try out another thing from your list, you know?
Totally.
Like, yeah, like I feel like your passion, you feel like you have your one passion your whole entire life, but that's not necessarily true. You could be passionate about something for a little bit. I've been scared about losing like passion about filmmaking once before, because I was like, oh man, this is the thing that like I said to myself that I was going to love forever. And like, this is what I was going to do with my life. Like, why am I not liking it anymore? You know, one thing you learn is like, it's okay to take a break from it. It's okay to step away just for a little bit. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe that love that you had in the beginning, it'll come back to you, or maybe it doesn't. And then you find another thing, you know, and that's okay. You know, if let's see here, like I said that like dance is something new that like I recently took up and like I became really passionate about it. But more so recently, it doesn't have the same, what is it, like spark or just like, yeah. Oh man, this is really cool. I'm really feeling the music. I feel really cool. I'm dancing. Now it just kind of feels like I'm doing moves to just a song to just do it. Like I said, I feel like it's okay to like, all right, I'm just going to step away from this just for a bit. Like I still love dancing, but maybe like all I need is just a little break. It'll step away from it. And then who knows, maybe it'll come back to like, I'll feel really passionate about it again. Or if it doesn't, there'll be something I tried.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's, I kind of lost the question again.
Good. Yeah, sort of following, honestly, it's your gut instinct. It's like, is this thing sparking? Is it giving me that spark? And then chase it. And if that spark endures, great. If not, you've got a bunch of other shit to try.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, I feel like in high school, you know, you're always, you're told like, or you're just kind of forcing this path to expect to just like, okay, what this is leading up to is college. Mm-hmm. And college, you only can choose one major. So what is that major going to be? And for me, I used to overthink a lot, just be like, oh crap. Okay, I have to choose just one. How do I do this? Then like, I never saw past the point of like high school, you know, because I didn't know what it was up to that point. Right. I thought like probably at that point, I was probably dead. Or not dead, but you know, like I couldn't imagine what life would look like after that. And that was really scary. Mm-hmm. But then after you go past that point, you realize like, oh, I have like all this time to figure out what I want to do. And like things will happen, things will change. And that's life. You don't have to just stick with one thing. You can choose over multiple like points in times of your life. You're going to live up to be 100. You know, that's like, I heard a quote. It was like, you live about like 5 lifetimes within your life where you can choose like different passions or something like that. And they're like, or your passion, your interests will always be changing. And like, so, you know, you don't have to really be scared to only just, that's how I came to the terms. Like, you don't have to be scared of just choosing only one thing, you know?
Oh, that's really beautiful. I like that.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. This week's question is, what is one thing you want to accomplish before the end of this year? What do you have on the horizon that you're sort of looking at the end of the year thinking, I would like to do that by then?
Before the end of this year, I would like to commit more to myself and take myself more seriously as an artist, and also just like to put in that deep work into just myself a little bit more. I think one thing I realized, I put in all this time into other things. I can schedule that time for like, let's say dance, let's say also just like my work or either classes, right? And that's already part of a schedule. But then I keep making the excuse, you know, that like, oh, I'll make my film later, or oh, I'll do client work later, or like I can always get client work like some other time, just like freelance it. You keep pushing it off until just like you realize like, oh man, the last thing I created was like how long ago? Mm-hmm. And like you say that you want to go into this for a living, and what do you have to show for your work right now?
Right.
And so I realized that like make you more time for yourself as like, not well, just yourself, and also just like as a creator. You know, if I can schedule all this time for myself for other things, then like, how come I don't put in that time to meet with myself for,
right,
to be creative, to actually make the work that I want to, you know, like, and actually get, do what I want to be doing, even on days like where you don't feel like it, you know, it's like, you got to put in the work, even if you don't feel like it, you got to schedule in that time, put in the work, you know, and hopefully that, no, good work definitely does lead to good outcomes. You know, no matter what happens, even if it doesn't perform that well, you learn something from it, and good work will always get you somewhere or just like a good outcome. You
exactly.
Know?
No, I love that. And that, I think that's, that goes nicely into our, sort of our final question here. To flip it, what advice would you give to someone who's trying to follow through on a goal?
I mean, yeah, just take yourself more seriously, I guess. I feel like if you're really serious about these goals and like, you know, you don't want it to be like a New Year's resolution kind of thing where it's just like, I'll go to the gym and then you don't go to the gym, you know, take yourself seriously and think of this as like an investment towards yourself in the future. You know, like, sure, it may not be the greatest and like it's hard to just start doing, but just start taking yourself seriously, invest that time into yourself, and future you will be thank you for that later. You know, it's like, oh man, I'm really glad I decided to actually look up around me, like other filmmakers in my area. It's like, now look at me. I got all these other film opportunities, you know, like, oh, that's great. Or just like whatever it may be, you know, just like start taking yourself seriously and just make time to put in the work into yourself, I guess. And I guess that's my advice towards people who, yeah, just take yourself more seriously and like just start putting the work towards yourself and scheduling that time. Treat it like a job or just anything else, classes or whatever, and you got this.
That's huge. No, that's lovely advice. I haven't heard that articulated in that way. Yeah, you deserve to be taken seriously yourself. Like, put in that effort.
Yeah. You know, I feel like for also a long time too, you know, you always just like, you can get into, it's easy to get into a comfortable mindset where it's just like, oh, I have these dreams and goals, but like, it'll eventually happen. Dreams don't work like that, you know?
No.
You gotta, what you want to do, you gotta actually invest that time into yourself. Like, think about how you're going to get there. Think about those steps. Just start doing it.
Fantastic. Break it down.
Thank you, man.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Totally. That's kind of about it. Do you have any exciting plans the rest of the day?
I'm putting that work into myself, you know?
Yes.
I'm planning out my next film project for next year. You know, I'm just trying to challenge myself. I joined your Discord community and stuff like a little bit before, but I'm like, something about me in Discord communities, especially when it's like a new one, I'm just like, damn, I'm scared to join a room. Maybe they're already doing
something. It's intimidating. It can be, but honestly, I just say go for it. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
I've like, trust me, I've never been involved with Discord until this one. And it was the most intimidating thing to put together. And even to talk to people, I was fucking terrified.
Yeah.
You know, I do it every day. But I've made some of my closest friends on that server. It's wild for sure.
The people chill.
Big time. Big time.
All right. Bet.
Sweet.
All right, I might see you around there sometime.
Bet, for sure. Well, until then, take it easy, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, you too, man. Thanks. Thanks again.
Always. Ciao. All right.
Bye-bye.
Special thanks to Emma, Lexi, and Ace for making this episode possible. Intro music provided by Wayfie. That's WAYFIE. And accompanying tracks by Lowboil. That's LOBOIL. Who can both be found on all major streaming platforms. Be sure to come by our Twitch stream every Sunday at 2 p.m. PST for more Blonde Radio interviews brought to you live. I'll see you soon, and thanks for tuning in to Blonde Radio.